Well, if you want to put a title, we can call it confession. And, you know, when you confess something, if you, a good example. When you say you're a Christian, you're confessing something, that you're a Christian, right?
Right.
Okay. Wow. But then when you don't follow through your confession, what are people thinking? Why do you think so many people outside these doors, and inside the doors too, because I can tell you it's a lot inside the doors that are going to go to hell because they haven't accepted Jesus. They're not born again. What does that do to the people in the world that see you doing worldly things and not following the word? You said you were a Christian. I mean, I'm looking at me too. Well, if I say I'm a Christian but don't follow God's word, what am I confessing? Am I lying? I'm telling God he's a failure? No. We need to understand when we make a confession. Now, a lot of people say, well, what are you talking about a confession? Well, the spiritual law, too few of us realize. It's our confession kind of rules us. It's who we are. When we confess I'm a Christian, automatically people are going to say, well, he goes to church, right? Normally they say, well, where do you go to church? And when they tell you where they go to church, and then sometimes you say, okay. Because if you know the church, you see what I'm saying? We start thinking, doing things we're doing. But, you know, confession, people most of the time instinctively think that it's confessing sin. Oh, I confess my sins to the Lord. I confess my sins to, you know, I'm going to be set free. I am, I'm not going to have any sin. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Well, that's a sin, all right. I mean, you're confessing a sin. But the main thing, I mean, the songs today and what I heard today was, it just lines up. You know, the Bible has so much more to say about, I guess you would say, a positive side of confessing. What I just said was, I guess you'd say, a negative side, which is in 1 John 1:9. How many times we say go to 1 John 1:9? Turn there. 1 John 1:9. That's kind of a negative side of a confession. Well, what do you mean? Well, let's read it. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a confession, right? But it's confessing the negative side of your sins. We need it. Believe me, we need it. When we have sinned, we go to that verse and we can quote that verse and understand that when we confess our sins to God, and I didn't say confess it to your next door neighbor. I didn't say confess it to your friend or confess it to anybody else or me. I'm talking, you confess your sins to God. You want to start a rumor real quick? Confess your sins to so-called friend. And then go get the test news the next week. I'm going to leave it right there. The Bible has so much more to say about a positive side, the confession of our faith. Ooh, how do we please God? With faith, right? With faith. Matter of fact, look in Romans 10 and verse 9. Romans 10 and verse 9, and we'll go 9 and 10, but in verse 9 it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Wow. And verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now that is a confession. That gets you to heaven. Now you need the other, but I'm saying this is a confession. You confess to God. You confess to what he, you know, that he is the Lord of your life. Then when you confess it, then we have to follow up on it to let him be the Lord of our life. A lot of people confess it. It's just something A lot of people I know that have confessed it, but don't live it. It was just a mouth service. Wasn't nothing in the heart. It's just something to get somebody off your back. Especially evangelists trying to beat them over the head with a Bible. They're going to say anything to get you away. Am I right?
Right.
Right. But you know, we have to understand, this does not refer to confessing sin. Does it? No. This is confessing Jesus. It's Jesus that's going to get us to heaven, not confessing our sins. Sure, sins will hold us back, but we have Jesus that we have to confess to Jesus that we can, you know, believe in our heart and then confess it with our mouth. And I can tell you, who was it? Paul wrote about the tongue being a force, a mighty force in your life. He ain't lying. You can say a whole lot of stuff that comes out of here. See, if you say you're a Christian and you don't back it up, you have a lying tongue, right? I mean, if you say you're a Christian, if you say you're this or that, whatever, you could say, well, I'm a mailman. Perfect example. I'm a mailman. What do? I deliver mail. Right? Somebody else with another job. I work at this place, and I am a whatever at that place. That's what you do. And you're confessing that's what you do. The same thing when we speak, we're a Christian. That means that you are following God's word to the best of your ability. You're growing in God's word. That doesn't mean you know everything right now. That doesn't mean that you're even halfway there yet. That means that you're following God's word all the way to the end. And you know, let's just like, if you confess that you are a Christian and don't go to church, you're not following God's word. You're not following his word. He says, do not forsake. You know what the verse I'm talking about? Fellowshipping with one another. He says, do not forsake it. And I mean, I know there's businesses, oh, that's a Christian business, but they don't go to church. And what's bad about it, if it's a Christian organization, whoa, what are they confessing to people? You see what I'm saying? When we confess something that I am a Christian, that means that I'm going to follow God's word to the best of my ability. And I'm going to try to stay on track as best I can. Do we get off track? Yes, we do. We do get a bump in the road. We do get a blowout. We do get this or that or whatever it is that goes on in our life. We get it. But we can always go back to 1 John 1:9 and repent of our sins, confess our sins to the Lord, and he will forgive us. Amen. You see what I'm saying? But our major thing that we confess, if we confess with our mouth that Lord Jesus, on the Lord Jesus, and believe in our heart, you see what I'm saying? That is going to definitely get us into heaven. And we have to follow up with his word. Matter of fact, when I said that you're, whatever comes out of your mouth, that, hey, people are listening. People are hearing what you're saying. People are knowing that, hey, I'm confessing this out of my mouth. That you could be held accountable to what you say out of your mouth. People are going to judge you by the way what things come out of your mouth. Right? Matter of fact, look in Proverbs 6 and verse 2. Proverbs 6 and verse 2. And this is what the word says. And it says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. Proverbs 6, 2. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Proverbs 6, 2, it says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Whatever comes out of your mouth, good or bad, you're going to be judged by those words. You're going to be judged. What we say in our confession and our confessions, the words, what we say, rule us. I know, like, Big H, He'd say, I was an aircraft mechanic. We start judging right off the bat. He worked on aircraft. We know automatically, Jody, he's a welder. He melts iron together. You know, things like that. Whatever we confess out of our mouth, you say, well, that's not a confession. Well, when you say something, you're confessing it. It's coming out. You're speaking it out of your mouth. As a matter of fact, look in Mark 11:23. It says, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Whoa. And does not doubt in his heart. That's where a lot of people fall right there. Doubt. I'm going to speak to a mountain. It's going to fall into the sea. Well, yeah, that's what God's word said it can do. And you're talking about Rocky Mountains? No, it's a mountain, whatever mountain is in your life right now. You speak to that mountain, and it's got to be cast into the sea. It's got to go. It can't stay. And then it reads on and says, cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. That's God's word. A lot of people say, oh, y'all just name it and claim it. If you want to say that's naming and claim it, say it. But I can tell you right now, he says, whatever you say, you can have whatever you say in his word, right? If you're believing for a healing in your body, you say, healing, come to me now. Sickness, go. What's going to happen? Sickness has got to go, right? If you believe it in your heart, you got to believe it. But if you don't believe it, guess what? You're going to be sick. Plain and simple. If you don't believe it, you're going to be sick. A lot of people get up to that point, but that doubt comes into their mind and they say, oh, I still got it. Well, you may do got it. But I can tell you by God's word, it's got to go. So however long it takes for that symptom to leave, for you to get yourself right with God, because God's already said it, it's got to go. It's got to be cast into the sea. So he's already done what he said he's going to do, but now it's up to us to get ourselves right with the word. We have to line up. It'd be like trying to, okay, I'm going to catch Amtrak. I'm going to catch it in New Orleans, and I end up going to Galveston. Am I going to catch the one in New Orleans? No, why is that? Because I'm not lined up with the train. The train is going to New Orleans. I need to get on in New Orleans, not Galveston. Same thing with Christians do with the word. They over here, when they need to be right here, lined up with the word of God. You see what I'm saying? We got to be lined up with God's word. People say, well, God, you don't ever hear me. Well, maybe because you're not where you're supposed to be. Because God's going to tell you to be here to receive what you need. Yeah, you know, it's really not hard to understand. It's just that we let doubt get in there that makes us think, well, I don't believe all this, you know, all this kind of stuff. You know, just like running over there, I want to plug something in. Or say I want to plug something in up here. It's not going to work, is it? Why? There's no receptacle. I need a receptacle. Now, if I sit here all day, a lot of Christians sit there, waste their time trying to plug in where there's no juice. They got to go to the source, and the source is God's word. So once we plug into God's word, we'll receive what we need from God. But if we over here trying to find a place, and I say, oh, it's got to be under here somewhere. It's hid out. You know, God's hiding that from me. He wants me to really search it. No, you're in the right place. It comes to you. If you want healing in your body, it comes to you if you're in the right place. You're in the right place in the word. You get yourself right with God's word. You know, let's meditate on that, what I just said about coming to pass and all that, you know, casting into the sea. It talks about these words of Jesus. It says, whoever says and shall not doubt in his heart shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. Did Jesus know what he was talking about? Yeah. That's the first question. Do you believe Jesus? Or are you going to believe your own little noggin? You know, that's what I was saying about studying the stuff from Rhema. I had to renew my mind because the denomination that I was in didn't teach about all this, about healing and all of this other stuff, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking with an unknown tongue. And where I went, it didn't teach all that. So I had to renew my mind to the Word of God, not by man-made teachings. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference than hearing somebody just say, well, that's where I get my stuff at church. That's it. I don't read the Bible. Well, you're going to have to read the Bible because I'm giving you scriptures here today. That means for you to take them home and to check me out. Hold me accountable to the word that I am speaking to you, because you that's going to get doubt out of your mind, because you probably doubt and says, well, I don't know about all that. I don't know about, well, you look up the scripture and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. You see what I'm saying? That's how it works. You know, Jesus knew what he was talking about. And, you know, Jesus was not a dreamer. What do you mean by that? He just wasn't telling you a whole bunch of stuff. He was telling you what the Father had told him. Right? And we need to understand that they are not, I guess you would say, the words of a dreamer. These are words from Jesus Christ himself. Jesus meant exactly what he said. Whew. I'm a Christian. Remember I started that off? I am a Christian. Do you mean exactly what you're saying? Can you prove it? Because the people out there want to say, can you prove it? I ain't there yet. I'm working on it. I may still have some flaws. I may still do this. I may still do that. But I'm still working on it. I'm getting closer to God with me staying in his word. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference when somebody says, I'm a Christian, and then they want to blast somebody else for what they're doing when they're doing it just bad. You see? Why do you think people turn on Christians so much? Because Christians are trying to blast somebody, and they ain't got their own closet clean. You know, we got to clean our own closet before we can go tell somebody else that their closet is dirty. And I can guarantee you, if you're like me, your closet don't really ever, I'm talking about in the physical, don't ever really get clean. Like the little dust bunnies roll around every now and then, you clean them up, and then it'd be back there a little while later or something. You see what I'm saying? It's just, we've got to keep our closet clean. Here's our closet, our heart. We're in, God's word should be in our heart, and we should keep it clean. Because why? Because isn't that where the Holy Spirit lives? Huh? Yeah. So you don't think you're fooling God, because God lives right here. Every move you make, it's like wearing one of those cameras. Everywhere you go, God's seeing everything we do. Everything. He doesn't leave nothing out. Even though you may be wanting to say, you know, think about doing something, he's got you. He knows exactly what you're thinking. So that's why we need to get stronger in God's word, to renew our minds with his word. Let the word wash over us and take the dirt and grime off of us so that we can have fresh, clean word all the time. Hallelujah. You know, another thing, if you really believe a thing in your heart, if you really believe that you can speak whatever it is that God's word says you can do, if it's positive or negative, and you can say it with your mouth, you will really have it. A lot of people don't understand that. When you speak it, you can have it. A lot of people speak it. I've seen, well, you can go to Facebook and you can see all what people speak. And this is where people say they're Christians, but they're speaking this kind of not the Bible, but speaking stuff. You know, they'll say that they're going through a lot of pain. They're going through there, and they are probably. But you don't speak that and confess that. And some people even said, "Well, that's reality." Well, that may be reality, but that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says you are healed by His stripes. Sure, you may not feel good, but God says you're healed. So don't confess that you're not healed when God says you can. Why are you doing it? You're in a little ring with the Rock'em Sock'em robot. God is one and you're the other one. Who's going to win? Ding. You see what I'm saying? I'm tired of, because this might sound strange, but I'm tired of fighting God. In the beginning, I mean, I fought God on just about everything. Are you sure, God? And I know none of you do that, but I mean, I say it all the time. Just, you know, God, are you sure? You know, I really like doing that. God says, cut it loose. Are you sure? Now I don't spend that time with him anymore like that. I'm saying, okay, thank you, Lord. Because I know I'm not going to win the battle. I mean, there's really no battle because it all ends up, it's my choice. Because God gave us a choice, right? To do what we need. But you know, like it says, you know, in those two verses that we read from God's word a little bit ago in Romans 10:10, you don't have to turn there now, but it says, with the mouth confession is made unto. Okay? And in Romans 10, Mark 11:23, it talks about, and he shall have whatever he says. Let's read that just real quick together. It says, and he, with the mouth confession is made unto. And in Mark 11:23, and he shall have whatever he says. I'm sick. You can have it. I don't want to be sick, do you? I don't know about you, but I don't care. Come down and you hear people, oh, it must be the Asian flu. It may be this. It may be that. I don't know what it is. It's going, might be food poisoning. Stop. All they're doing is piling it on top of each other. Just stop. God said that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Right? And he says, I can have whatever I say. And I don't want to say I'm sick. I want to say I walk in divine health. Even though I may have a limp, I may have this, I may have a little back pain, I may have hand pain, I may have this, I may have it, but I'm not going to confess I have the pain in my hand. I'm going to confess that I am healed in the name of Jesus and not sit there and have my own little party. Because that's when the doubt starts coming in. We have our own little party. You ever had your own little party sitting around there just looking at the wall and telling the wall, you know, look at me. This is it. I can't do nothing because my back, I don't know what I'm going to do. My back is being operated on and nothing getting better. Well, shut up. Get in God's word and read what God's word says you can have. Didn't he say you can have whatever you say? Right. So don't say you won't have nothing. I've heard too many times kids, young kids were coming up and the parents said, you're not going to be worth 2 cents. And you know what? They weren't. They ended up in prison or they ended up in jail. They ended up somewhere. Why? Because the parents were speaking over those children. And that's wrong. We got to speak God's word over our children. We got to speak over the people of God. You are somebody. You are a child of God. And you're going to reap what you sow. You sow unhealthy things out of your mouth, you're going to receive unhealthy things out of your mouth. So we need to understand. Take your vitamins. Take your vitamins, the God vitamin. Take your gospels. If you go through something, we have a list out back. So you can grab those things when something tries to come on you. Start reading them. You believe a doctor? He says take it 3 times a day. You take them 3 times a day. As a matter of fact, you're looking at the clock. I think it's time for another pill. Get those gospels out there and do the same thing with them. Now, I didn't say get off your pills now. I'm saying get your gospels and add it to your pills that the doctor gave you. Because we saw that Thursday night in here. I mean, everybody was up here. The altars were full of people just stirring that fire up in them. Why? Because they're sick and tired of being sick and tired. They're ready to get the fire stirred up in them. They're ready to see the new things of God, what he has for each and every one of you. And you know what? You're going to see it. Why? You were speaking it out of your mouth. Now, don't let doubt get in there and try to mess you up. Matter of fact, turn to Hebrews 4:14. Hallelujah. We can have whatsoever we say. Wow. And in Hebrews 4:14 it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confessions. Wow. Hold fast to our confessions. Christians are told here that we need to hold fast to our confessions. We need to hold fast to our confessions. We need to hold fast to our confessions. Why did I say it three times? Because sometimes, like my mother said, I have to tell you more than once. So I am telling you, as your mother would tell you, to do it, to hang on, to hold on to your confessions that you speak out of. You got to maintain it. You got to maintain your health. You got to maintain your whatever you sing out of your mouth, right? So we need to, many people maintain the wrong confession. Well, if I could get $1 million, I'd be out of debt. If you could handle $1 million, God would have probably already gave you that $1 million. Why is that? Because you confessed it. But when you confess something and God knows that you can't handle it, like he knows who are born again believers and who's not. He knows. We don't need somebody in here to walk across the aisle and say, I don't think you're a born again believer. That's none of our responsibility. That's between them and God. That's between them and God. And it's between you and God. Not you to go and beat somebody on top of the head. You know, we need to always understand that when we're confessing bad things out of our mouth, we're giving the devil the credit. We're reading the devil's news when we say that we're sick. I don't know why I can't ever get well. I always got this runny nose. I always got this. Well, speak out of your mouth that this runny nose has got to go. That sounds kind of bold. What God said to speak whatever, confess whatever it is that what's going on and get it out. I don't want a runny nose. Can you imagine me sitting up here the whole time trying to give you what God's word? No. And I tell you, I had a little spell early this morning. It was coughing. I said, this can't stay. I got to speak here in a few hours, and this can't stay. It's got to go. And you know what? When I got here, it quit. It was gone. Boop. Why is that? I spoke to that cough. He said, that sounds silly. Well, it may be to you, but I was coughing. To catch me at a in up time, you know, I mean, you're trying to say something and all of a sudden, and it reminded me, she got up this morning and got her a second cup of coffee there and she says, I'm trying to practice this song, but my voice has got to wake up. Well, wake up, voice. And all of a sudden she started singing right along with the CDs that were playing, and we always have praise and worship music on in the house in the morning while we're getting dressed and all of that. So you see what I'm saying? You got to speak to whatever it is. A lot of people wouldn't come to church today because they might have had a runny nose. Might have stumped their toe last night in the dark where they shouldn't have been. You'll get that when you get home. Hallelujah. But I can tell you, God is not a failure. Too many people think he's a failure. They blame everything on God. When something don't happen, God, what do you let that happen for? Remember, we have the choice to open up the door for the bad to come in. If we leave the door alone and let God open the door for us, guess what? It won't come in. We can't blame God for everything that goes on. But then when you get something good, oh, praise God. Oh, he blessed me with this. He blessed me with that. But we don't want to say about the things that we do. We just have to go back to 1 John 1:9 and ask the Lord to forgive us. Because God is not a failure. Defeat is not from God. There's no such thing as defeat. And when we talk about defeat, you're talking about the works of the devil. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I done got beat down and I lost my job. I did this, I did, and this is going on. You don't. That's defeat. Stay out of that arena of defeat. Sure, it's tough. But I can tell you one thing. You can pray yourself right out of it by speaking God's word and speaking it out. And God did not intend that the church be defeated either. God has put this church here for a reason. It's to pull people out of that muck and mire, to pull people out so that they can put their feet upon the rock. The rock, the solid rock of Jesus Christ, and not the things of this world. You see what I'm saying? The church should not and will not be defeated. As what it says in Matthew 16, it says, the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. If the church is speaking the word, if the church is following God's word and being obedient to the Holy Spirit, we're going to see a difference in your life. And then when your life changes, you'll see a different light in the church. Because, you know, when somebody's really going down, really down in something, they can't see the light. Why? All they want to do is complain because it ain't going their way. It is the church. God didn't give you the church. God gave you to be the body of Christ in the church. You see what I'm saying? We, you know, the church is not run by two or three, four or five people. The church is run by Jesus and the Holy Ghost. And once we have a knowing that the Holy Ghost is in charge, Jesus is the head of the church, and then the body of Christ comes together, and every member of that body works together into what they're supposed to be or what they're called to do, you'll see a church rise. You'll see our church rise, and you'll see the Holy Ghost bringing people into this place. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is the one that brings people into this place. You say, well, no, I just drove by and saw the sign. Well, I tell you what, normally you would have never seen that sign out there because the Holy Ghost hadn't got your attention. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost got your attention. I'll have to try that church out. And you come in, and the Holy Ghost, you have such a peace about what's going on? What's happening? This, that. This church is a loving church. This church is that. This church is... The Holy Ghost is what did that. And then the people in the church are being led by the Holy Ghost, and they will see the Holy Ghost in the other people. You see what I'm saying? Hallelujah. But don't forget, God is not a failure. No matter what's going on in your life, God is not the failure. Defeat is not of God. Defeat is because of our own self. Because we have put ourselves in a bad, bad, bad situation. And that's why things come and come against us, right? Praise you, Lord. But we got to understand what we confess out of our mouth is what we're going to have. So what are you confessing, positive or negative? You speaking healing or sickness? You speaking finances? Are you speaking debt? You see, it's up to you. It's not up to me. And it's really not up to God. It's up to each individual. What are we confessing out of our mouth? Hallelujah.